There's no God like Jehovah. 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 same God. You answered prayers right then, and you will answer now. You are the same God.
Tell him.
You are the same.
Same God, you moved in power, God moved in.
sins to be forgiven, washed away so that we can be redeemed into your family. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are to us today. And thank you, Lord God, that you are here in our midst this morning as we worship you, as we pray together, as we glorify your name. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to do your work in our midst this morning. We thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, for the good plans that you have for us today. Thank you, Lord, for your daily provision in our lives. And we declare this morning that we trust in you. You are the Lord our God, our provider, our healer, our deliverer, our strength giver, the one who supplies us peace and joy. Everything that we need is found in you. Lord Jesus, we praise you for that this morning. We ask that you would continue to guide us and direct us throughout the service this morning. May the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be highly lifted and praised today. May this place be a place where we are constantly about your business, doing your work, and bringing great glory and honor to the name above every name. Thank you, Lord, for every person in this room this morning. We love you and we worship you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said a good amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to church today. This is the day the Lord has made. This is a day I've been waiting for a long, long time. The first Sunday of fall. And we're so glad for the Lord's gift of cooler weather starting a couple of days ago. And we just pray that the temperatures would drop into the 40s very soon. Amen. The Lord is good. Yes, 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 yes. Well, it's great to have everybody in church today. Would you take a moment before you're seated to reach out around you and just greet everybody, make everybody feel welcome today, please. Thank you, Lord. Our missions team is headed toward the Smoky Mountains right now, and they're going to be at the Smoky Mountain Dream Center sometime this evening. They're on the bus, 10 team members, and we want to pray today that the Lord will bless their trip and their missions work there this week. So why don't you agree together with me right now in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of reaching beyond Jefferson City in the work of missions and for the opportunities, the open doors that you provide. Thank you, Lord God, for excellent missionary team members with whom we can partner to see the work of God accomplished. Lord, we ask for your blessing upon our missions team today as they're driving on the highway even now headed for Tennessee. We pray for traveling protection. We pray for peace and for confidence and joy and good fellowship on the trip there. We pray, Lord God, that when they arrive, they will find a fruitful harvest field where they can work and do the assignments that you provided for them. We pray you would bless the ministry of the Smoky Mountain Dream Center, and that, Father, you would provide everything necessary for a good work to be accomplished and completed this week. We put it all in your hands, and we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for those who are willing to go, those who are willing to give and serve. We pray your blessing to rest upon this, every seed that is sown, that it may bring forth glory to you and ultimately bring souls into the harvest of the kingdom. Thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Bob, come please with the day's news.
Thank you, Pastor. We do have a few other real quick announcements that we want to share with you. We want to continue to remind you that we have a voter registration table set up in the lobby today. So if you're not registered, please swing by right after service and we can get you registered. I want to continue to remind you that we have a new season of life groups that are scheduled to launch on Sunday, October the 2nd. We've got like 9 total groups that we're working on forming. We have those sign-up sheets located in the connector. And so if you've not got by yet to sign up and check those out, we've got the names and the address and locations listed there for you. It's a great way to get connected with other people within the church. So please swing by, and that'll help us a lot by getting signed up today as we form those. And then I think one other word of announcement. We have a couple quick special birthdays today that we want to mention. The first one is my beautiful wife, Deanna. Would you stand up? Today is her 50th birthday. I think she makes 50 look pretty good, but might be a little bit biased. We have another lady in the church today who's turning 50, but she wants to remain anonymous. But I will give you a couple hints. Her first name is Ann. She normally sets up there, but I see she's not setting up there today. Her second clue is her husband's name is Jack, and they live in California, Missouri. So would you help me express a happy birthday to our anonymous Ann today? She's on this side of the church. I'll be exiting this side after service. So anyway, all right. I think that's it in the way of announcements. So if you would, please stand with us today, and God bless you as the worship team comes and leads us.
seated this morning as we look to the Word of God together. 2 Peter chapter 3 this morning as we continue with lesson number 7 in our study entitled Ready with Answers. This morning's question we're going to consider together is this question: where is this promise? Where is this coming He promised? The coming of the Lord Jesus. We've been talking about that for a long time in the church, and some might ask, well, where is it? Where is this coming He promised? We begin reading at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming He promised?" Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Somebody say amen. The home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. Paul's letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. And everyone said, amen. Where is this coming He promised? That's the question Peter predicted the world would be asking. After all, we Christians have been declaring that promise for about 2,000 years now, ever since Jesus gave us the promise and the angels on the Mount of Olives declared, this same Jesus whom you've seen go into heaven will so come again in like manner as you've seen Him go. The angels promised He will return. And all these centuries, Christians have been preaching that message. Jesus is coming again. Some preachers have invested their entire ministries in that message. I myself have preached that promise on many occasions. Jesus is coming again, and with good cause. The New Testament is packed with repetitions of that promise. All four Gospels, to the book of Acts, throughout the letters of the Apostle Paul, in the letters of Peter and James and John and Jude, and rising to a grand conclusion in the book of Revelation, we hear the promise repeated over and over again, Jesus is coming again. Peter was at the end of his life, near the end of his life, when he wrote those words. The Lord had revealed to him that he would die soon, and the Holy Spirit urged Peter to write and remind his readers one more time that this world would be filled with trouble. Apostles would come and go. People would ridicule the idea of the return of Jesus. But despite all of that, one day, someday, Jesus will come again. Now, these are crazy days in which we're living. And many Christians are asking, as Christians have asked for 2,000 years now, could this be the season in which Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will come again to this world from heaven to rescue and redeem his people and to bring judgment upon a wicked world and ultimately to establish his kingdom on earth? Could these be the days in which Jesus will come? At the same time, the unbelieving world would mock that thought. And even some professing Christians would ask, well, if Jesus hasn't returned to this world yet, will he ever return? I say to you this morning that both unbelievers and believers in Jesus, both are asking that question, where is this coming he promised? Peter lays out that question for us today and provides three primary answers, three primary exhortations for us to take up as we follow the Lord Jesus as regards the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ again. The first urging from the Apostle Peter is this: we need to engage God's promise all over again. I say to you this morning that sometimes in the waiting, there is discouragement. Sometimes as we wait, doubts arise and distractions move us in other directions. But I tell you this morning, as surely as the Bible was filled with this promise in the first century, the Bible that we hold today, the Bible we teach and preach, is still filled with this promise. Jesus is coming again. So rather than dismissing the promise or bypassing the promise or laying the promise aside or forgetting about the promise, we need to engage God's promise again. Scripture speaks. Jesus is coming. Listen to what Peter writes in verse 1. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Remember what the scriptures say, says Peter. I remind you this morning what the scriptures say. The Old Testament prophets predicted the second coming of Jesus, the return of Jesus. Daniel, Isaiah, David, Zechariah, Malachi, Joel, and Job all prophesied about Messiah's second coming. Jesus prophesied and promised that he would return again. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I'm going away, but I will come again. I'm coming back to get you. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour when your Lord will come. The angels promised that Jesus would return. Acts chapter 1, the angels said, Jesus is coming back again. The New Testament apostles preached that Jesus will return. In fact, every New Testament writer wrote about the expectation and the need for Christians to take hold of that expectation that Jesus is coming again. Paul wrote about the rapture of the church in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, and Titus 2. James wrote in chapter 5, verse 7, be patient till the Lord's coming. Jude, verse 14, the Lord is coming with thousands and thousands of his holy ones. Hebrews 10:37, we don't even know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but whoever that author was wrote about the coming of the Lord and said, in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. John wrote the entire book of Revelation looking forward to the Lord's second coming in Revelation chapter 19. And by the way, yesterday I had the joy of listening to the entire book of Revelation at my home, and I want you to know the promise is still the same yesterday as it was last week and last year and last generation. Jesus, the Son of God, is coming again to this world one of these days. He is coming. The gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all recorded the prophecies of Jesus' second coming. And Peter, here in our scripture today, prophesies the two-sided nature of the Lord's coming again. It will be, says Peter, a day of doom and destruction coming upon this world. Verse 7 says, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. These are descriptions of that great day of tribulation and trouble that's coming upon this world. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. A day of doom and destruction is coming. Sometimes people talk about the end of the world, the end of this age, by using the term doomsday. Doomsday is coming. And the world often laughs about the prediction of a doomsday. I want you to understand this morning that this world is moving toward a doomsday, where the destruction of this wicked world is coming at the hand of Almighty God. Those who have rejected the Lordship of Jesus and have refused to acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, a day of judgment is coming. But thank God, a day of deliverance, divine deliverance, is also coming. Listen to verse number 13. But in keeping with God's promise, we, everybody say we, that's we as the blood-bought children of God, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. The scriptures provide for us the Bible timeline regarding the coming of Jesus. First, Jesus will come in the clouds to rapture his saints before the great tribulation on earth. Then, when the earth has been judged, Jesus will return to earth in his glorious second coming, along with his faithful and chosen followers. Jesus will establish his millennial kingdom on earth, where we will rule and reign with him 1,000 years. And in the end, we, the blood-bought church of the living God, will live in heaven on earth forever. No wonder the Apostle Paul called all of this our blessed hope. I want you to know, friends, if you're hoping in anything, put your hope in the Lord. And put your hope in the Lord's promises. I want you to know the Lord has promised to help you and to minister to you as you live in this miserable old world. But friends, there's a better day a coming, and God has promised a greater hope than that. He's promised that one day he will receive us to himself. We will forever be with the Lord. We will rejoice in his presence forever. God shall wipe away every tear from our eyes. We'll be in the presence of God, healed and whole and happy and full of the life of God, never to die again, and we will live with the Lord in eternal life forever. That is our glorious hope. Jesus is coming again. A day of divine deliverance is coming for us as Christians. Scripture speaks. Jesus is coming. But Peter warned that scoffers would scoff. How could we expect a scoffer to do anything but scoff? And how could we expect a skeptic to do anything but skep? Yes, there will be skeptics and scoffers in the world in which we live. We understand that. Scoffers will scoff, but Jesus is coming regardless. Verse number 3, Peter writes, "You must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised?' Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the word of God, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." Peter's point is this. People have doubted God's prophecies before, but God's prophecies and promises came to pass anyway. The first prophecy, I remind you this morning, the first prophecy of the first coming of Jesus took place there in the Garden of Eden as God pronounced the curse upon Adam and Eve some thousands of years before Jesus would, perhaps twice as long between that first promise of the first coming of Jesus and the coming of Jesus the Messiah when he came down as the Christmas babe. Perhaps 4,000 years existed between the coming of that first promise and the actual coming of Jesus the Messiah. And now here we are 2,000 years removed from the promise, the prophecy of his second coming. Peter says they doubted the promises long ago. But despite the fact that they doubted God's prophecies and promises, God's prophecies and promises came to pass anyway. And the prophecies and promises of the return of Jesus will prove true despite what the scoffers and skeptics have to say. Some reject and ridicule the return of Jesus right from their pulpits. They need to get out of the pulpit. I say to you this morning, if you can't preach basic Bible from your pulpit, you don't need a pulpit. Are you here this morning? If you can't preach the coming of Jesus from your church, you don't need to be managing a church. Now, I say that with some zeal and enthusiasm this morning, but I want you to understand that if we were to rip the prophecies of the second coming of Jesus out of the pages of our Bible, we would have to rip out every page of the New Testament. And I say to you this morning, we're going to stand on the Word of God. And though some would be skeptical, we just have to say, regardless of your skepticism, even Peter in the first century knew that you would be doubting that Jesus would come again. Where is this promise, this coming that he promised? And so, regardless of the scoffers, we declare it, Jesus is coming again. Unfortunately, are you listening to me this morning? Unfortunately, the church has assisted the scoffers on many occasions by veering off into sensational but unbiblical teachings and by setting dates for the Lord's return again and again and again. Will we never learn? And friends, let me say to you that every prediction thus far of a date for the Lord's return has failed. When I first came to First Assembly in 1986, our family moved over here, 1986. There were people even then who were predicting and prophesying that in 1988 the Lord was coming, and they had 88 reasons for the Lord's coming in 1988. Isn't that convenient? How many of you realize that 1988 has come and gone? After all, Deanna is 50. And Ann back there is 50. Ann, you're the best looking 50-year-old I've ever seen. Well, you and Deanna both tie. Let me say, do you and Deanna tie today? Let me get myself out of the water here this morning. And down through the years, the church, in its zeal, I understand zeal and expectancy and joy over the thought that Jesus might come on a particular, but listen, Jesus plainly taught us we will not know the day or the hour. Why did Jesus teach us that? Jesus refused to tell us when, because if we did that, then some people in their foolishness would live for the world all the way up to the day before and suddenly have a pre-rapture come to Jesus meeting. And they would, listen, and they would have wasted their lives living for the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour. You've got to live for me every day, huh? All day, huh? Looking forward to the someday when I will come again. And Jesus taught us that. The scoffers scoff, but listen, despite the scoffers and despite the abuses of well-meaning Christians, Jesus will return. Many of you are like me, like the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. You would say, well, come on, Jesus. You think we can get him to come to everybody, holler, say, come on, Jesus. Maybe think we can get him to come this morning? He might come this morning. He might. Probably won't be the result of our hollering at him. We say, well, come on, Jesus, and yet Jesus has not yet returned. We're still waiting. We're still hoping. We're still longing. We're still looking. And listen to me, we're still preaching. Are you here? We're still preaching it. I'm not going to stop. As long as the Lord gives me breath, I'm going to be preaching that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins, who rose again from the dead, who reigns and rules in heaven, who saves sinners, and who is coming again one of these days. I'm going to keep on preaching that. If you say, well, I want a more contemporary church, go on, buddy. Find what you want. You just let your itching ears just look for what you want. We're going to keep on preaching the Bible around here, and we're going to keep on declaring the Lord Jesus is coming again. We engage that promise. And Peter says, well, Jesus has not yet returned because of God's patience. That's our second exhortation. Examine God's patience. The truth is there is love in God's delay. Listen to verse 8. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now listen to me. Peter preached salvation as the point of God's patience. Why is God waiting? He wants more people to be saved. Okay? The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Peter preached that. The reason the Lord has not yet come. And you know, listen to me, friends. As Peter writes this letter, maybe around the year 60 or later AD, shortly before his death, Peter writes 2 Peter. And the Lord Jesus has revealed to Peter, you're going to die soon. You're going to lay aside this body. And so Peter's looking toward his soon coming death. Remember, Jesus had already told Peter early on how Peter would meet his death in John chapter 21. Peter knew he was going to die as a martyr. So Peter knew from Jesus' encounter with him in John 21, Peter knew he would not see. Think about this with me. Peter understood that he would not see the rapture of the church and coming of Jesus before he died personally. Because Jesus had revealed to him what manner his death would come. In what manner his death would come. So now Peter's near the end of his life writing 2 Peter, and the Lord reveals to him, very soon your time of departure is coming. You're going to lay aside the tent of this body. And your spirit's going to go home to be with the Lord. And so Peter's understanding then that he's going to be leaving his congregations, whatever his ministry looked like at this time. He's going to be leaving the churches, leaving the believers for heaven before the coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus and the rapture of the church. And so Peter is writing this second letter, and he senses the urgency of the Holy Spirit to remind the people again that Jesus has come, even after I depart this world, Peter says, don't lose sight of the fact that Jesus is coming again. And the point of Jesus' delay here is that he wants more people to be saved. Peter preached that. And Paul also preached salvation as the point of God's patience. Verse 15, Peter writes, bear in mind that the Lord's patience means salvation, just as our brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Peter says, Paul also wrote to you and shared with you that as the Lord waits, more and more people are going to be saved. And the purpose of the delay is the salvation of more and more people. Both Peter, is everybody still awake with me this morning? Both Peter and Paul emphasized the truth that the delay in Jesus' return is about seeing more people saved. This is about giving more people more time to be saved. And listen to me. And it obviously has been about giving more generations of people time to be saved. Do you know that one day in heaven, there's going to be a bride of Christ in the thousands and millions and multiplied numbers that we probably won't even be able to get a grip? Do you know that heaven is going to be populated with multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people who've been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and who are in heaven to sing forever the praises of Almighty God? It's going to be, the bride of Christ is going to be glorious from generations of time. And Jesus is building that bride. God is a God of love. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to be saved, all who are willing. Jesus died and rose again to save the human race and eventually, yes, to populate heaven as the people of God. And here we are 2,000 years later. The Lord is still delaying his coming and he is still saving people. That says to me that heaven still has room. Not enough people have been brought into salvation. God's amazing grace is still reaching, still calling, still urging, still inviting people in. There's room at the cross, dear friend. There's room at the table. There's room in the house. There's room in the kingdom of God. There's room for you. Amen. There's room for your coworker. There's room for your family. There's room for your neighbors next door. There's room in the kingdom of God. There's still room. Jesus is still here. Jesus is still moving. The coming of the Lord has been delayed so that we might bring them in. Yes. Still room. I declare to you this morning that God's priority for these troubled days is the saving of the lost. We have often established our own priorities, but our priorities, even though they may seem well-meaning and may be well-structured and all of those things, our priorities do not trump God's priorities. God's priorities until the coming of Jesus is the saving of the lost, bringing people in. We must not lose sight of that. For now the Lord waits. He is patient, calling sinners to salvation. But we remember the word from Hebrews 10:37, in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. There is delay now, but there will not be delay forever. Jesus is coming. There is love in God's delay, but the second point from Peter, there is a limit to God's delay. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The Lord will come like a thief. Suddenly, unexpectedly, with a shout, with the sound of a trumpet. I heard someone sent me a sermon a few years ago from a pastor right here in this city who mocked and scoffed and ridiculed the idea of an unexpected rapture of the church in our generation. I declare to you that Jesus himself said his coming would be like a thief in the night, and that no one would know the day or the hour. The Apostle Paul also wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5 that the day of the Lord would come like a thief. Jesus declared it in Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and is ready for my coming. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says the coming of the Lord will take place in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. So Peter asks, in light of all this, what kind of people ought you to be? That leads to our third and final exhortation this morning. We must engage God's promise, we must examine God's patience, and we must embrace God's priorities. What do we do in light of this? Well, Peter says, number one, we must be godly. Look up at me, everybody. Look up at me, everybody. Get rid of your sinning. Are you here? Get rid of your sinning. Get rid of your sinful lifestyle. I don't know who you are and what you may be dealing with. I'm not assuming everybody here is living a sinful lifestyle. But if you are engaged in a sinful lifestyle, get rid of your sinning. Get rid of your sinful addictions. Get rid of your sinful affections. Get rid of those things that are polluting your spiritual life. Lay those things aside and determine that you're going to follow the Lord Jesus in wholehearted devotion. We must be godly. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, writes Peter, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found what? Say it out loud. Are you reading the scripture with me? Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Let me ask you, this is old-fashioned preaching maybe this morning, but this is Bible preaching. How many of you here this morning want to be ready for the coming of the Lord? Then get rid of the sinful living and determine you're going to live for Jesus, spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. You say, well, I'm not perfect, Pastor. How can I be spotless and blameless and at peace with God? Through the powerful work of the blood of Jesus that can wash away your sins and remove your sins from you as far as the east is from the west and transform your life into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. You can be victorious in this world. We must be godly. Secondly, as we embrace God's priorities, we must be guarded. Verse 17, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. How many Christians in the room this morning? Lift your hand, say amen. Look at me, everybody. Stay on track. Don't be pulled away. Peter says it's possible to be secure and then to fall from that secure position. Don't be pulled away. Huh? We must be guarded. There's a lot of false teaching in this world in which we live today. I broke it down some time back when talking about false teachers. The two primary categories of false teaching in the world today are these. Number one, false teaching about salvation and what it takes to really be saved. The second category of false teaching is false teaching about the power and the consequences of sin. And the world is filled with that. Are you listening today? We're living in a world right now, and even in a nation right now, we are living in a nation right now that has absolutely flipped on top of its head every sense of morality. Are you? And in fulfillment of the biblical prophecies, they are calling evil good and good evil, and those who are against evil are now the evil ones, and those who are, and everything is twisted around, and the godly people are now the culprits, and the culprits are now those who are right, and it's such a mess. Why is that? It's because people have laid their Bibles on the coffee table or sold them in the rummage sale, or given them away in the Goodwill box, and they have gotten rid of their Bibles. They have been deceived by the world in which we live. And I tell you this morning, the devil is a deceiver. He is a liar. He is inspiring people even now to pull people away from the scriptures and away from their devotion to Christ. And listen, as Christians, we've got to stay on top of things. We've got to be guarded. We've got to keep our Bibles open. Are you here? We've got to keep the prayer bench warm. Are you here? We've got to stay full of the Spirit and determined to live for God. We must be godly. We must be guarded. Thirdly, we must be growing. Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fourthly, we must be gospelizing, taking the good news of Jesus to the world around about us. Listen, the promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus used to be an evangelistic tool for Christians. Jesus is coming. We want to all be ready. Come on in. We must be sharing the gospel, and we must be finally glorifying God with our lives. Verse 18, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Where is this coming he promised? It's around the corner, friends. I said it's around the corner. I don't know a number of days or a number of years. I don't know a number of days or years. I can't predict to you when that time is going to come. But I can, based on the authority of God's word, declare to you that the promise has not failed or fallen flat. The promise is still there, rising from the pages of the word of God, speaking out to Christian believers in this generation with this promise: Jesus is coming again. It could be today. Maybe not. But it could be. It could be tomorrow. The point is, as Christians who really believe the Bible, let me take a poll here this morning. How many of you believe the Bible despite what current philosophers and scoffers and skeptics may say? You're going to stick with the Bible. How many of you believe? If, as Bible-believing Christians, we need to just examine the mountain of repetition in the pages of Scripture regarding this promise. and say to ourselves and to those around us, the scripture is clear. The scripture not only speaks, the scripture shouts with this mountain of evidence that Jesus is coming again. And as a result, we've got to live our Christian lives believing that and building our priorities on that reality. We have families and friends and neighbors and co-workers and people we care about who need the Lord Jesus, don't we? Huh? We, perhaps you, your own self, you need a major work in your own life for you to be confident that you're ready to meet the Lord Jesus when he comes again. I've known a lot of people over the years who died a natural death and had plenty of notice up ahead, and they lay in a deathbed for a good long time with plenty of time to meander and think about their lives and wonder about their past and ask the Lord for and to make things right with God. Have you ever known somebody like that? We thank God for everybody who's ever made things right with God near the time of their departure, but this coming of the Lord Jesus, this is in a moment, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. We'd better be ready. There will be no alarm bells reminding us that in 10 minutes, Jesus is coming. It'll be one of these, ready or not, here I come. And Jesus will, and I want to be ready, don't you? I want to be, so let's live every day expecting and living our lives like Jesus could come today. I want us to stand together, please, across the sanctuary. Some of you are saying, he's such an old-fashioned preacher. I don't. Listen, if I'm old-fashioned, the Bible is old-fashioned. I want you to know every bit of evidence that I can muster up says the Bible is as up-to-date today as it ever was. And I'm going to hook my hopes on the Bible, aren't you? Now, as we bow our heads together in prayer for just a moment, are there some of you here today who would say, Pastor Lowell, I'm in church today, but I am not ready to meet Jesus. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And you would say today, I am not ready to meet Jesus. I'm not ready for the Lord's coming. I'm not ready to die. I don't have the confidence that I'm ready to meet God. But I want to do that this morning. Friends, the good news is the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is salvation available right now from the Lord Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with First Assembly of God, although it does in that we preach it and declare it. And it does in that you're here right now. But our salvation does not depend on First Assembly. This is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who calls us to himself and invites us to come into his salvation. If you're here this morning, you're not ready and you want to receive Jesus as your Savior this morning, would you lift your hand wherever you're standing? Hold it up high right now. Just keep it up for just a minute until I see you wherever you are. Anybody, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior today. Please pray for me. Let me look across the room, see if there's anybody like that today. Anybody here? I don't see any hands lifted for salvation this morning. I think I know most people in the house today. Let me ask this spiritual question. Who here today would say, there's some godly priorities in my life that still need attention as I wait for the coming of the Lord? Now that might be something in your own life that might have to do with reaching other people for Jesus. It might have to do with getting involved in the kingdom of God and planting your life in the work of bringing people to, whatever it means, you would say, there are some things in my life, some priorities in my life that need to be adjusted based on the reality that Jesus is coming again. If that's you, lift your hand right now. Lift it up. I lift my own hand today. I'm constantly constantly in the mode of trying to reestablish and readjust my priorities so that my priorities match what God wants for me. It's easy in this world, even with the best of hearts, to sort of stray away sometimes from having God's priorities at the front of our attention. Many have lifted a hand today to say, yes, I need to readjust priorities in light of the promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that as a body of believers, we would be on track and on target in this area. I pray that when the day comes, Lord, should that day come, Lord, in the time of my ministry here as pastor, Lord, help us as a body of believers to have accomplished the plan you have for us, O God. May we not fall short, O Lord, of accomplishing the priorities that you have for us, but may we have worked diligently, giving ourselves fully to the work of the Lord so that our work in the Lord will not be in vain. May we, Lord, may we maximize our efforts in seeing the lost saved and in seeing the people of God live for you with all of their hearts. Thank you for that, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name that you would strengthen us, Lord, to be the people you've called us to be in these last days. Lord, we bless you and we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Now, friends, our prayer teams are in place upstairs and around the building this morning. If you have needs today to bring to the Lord, we would love to agree together with you in prayer and believe the Lord to touch you this morning, meet you at your point of need. Maybe it's something in your own life, somebody in somebody else's life, but you want a prayer partner to agree with you this morning about something important. And we invite you to come as the congregation is dismissed here in a moment. Congregation, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you, give you peace and give you passion and power to be the people that he has called you to be in these days in which we're living. We love you, Jesus, and we look forward to seeing your face one day soon. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said a good amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, friends. Have a great day in the Lord.